Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Welcome to Talk Straight. You're listening to a national dialogue with your host, Ruben Dockery. We're grateful to have you come and join us again tonight for Talk Straight, this latest episode in the first month of the year 2017. As you know, our topic tonight is simply, what does it mean to be African American? A subculture divided. Again, thank you for joining us. The number to call us tonight is 657-383-0944. Again, this is your host, Ruben Dockery, with Talk Straight. On January 1st, 2017, 151 years have passed since the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution abolished slavery and involuntary servitude, except as punishment for a crime. With great irony, criminality is the social ill that has many people of Afro descent in bondage of some kind today. It begs the question, just what does it mean to be African American? Conflicting ideas of its meaning has our entire subculture divided. But I'd like for you to join me tonight in live dialogue with my very special guest, Mr. Cedric Lanier, who is a former personal bodyguard for the late Fred Hampton, who's the leader of the Chicago chapter of the Black Panther Party. We will discuss this issue, and with any bit of success, we will offer an answer to that question. What does it mean to be African American? And how do we keep our subculture from continuously being divided? If you listen to our show before, you know that we began with a monologue before we formally introduce our guests, and we will follow that format now. We're on to 8:30. We have an hour and a half, and I'm going to go ahead and begin our monologue. And we're anxious to get our special guest in to share with us tonight. But again, the topic is, what does it mean to be African American, a subculture divided? Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6 reads, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." St. Mark 3:27 reads, "No man can enter into a strong man's house for all his goods, except he will first bind the strong man. Then he will spoil his house." William Edward Burhart Du Bois suggested, and let me just kind of give you background on Du Bois. One of six principles used to psychologically control Negro males and their families during slavery involved the stripping of their natural right to establish themselves with resources and opportunities socially, economically, and politically within American society. By 1865, the latter condition of social dependency for Negro people was well embedded in them. In his 1903 publication of Souls of Black Folks, William Edward Burghardt Du Bois, as I mentioned earlier, suggested the idea of a double conscience for former slaves. He states in that book, "It is a peculiar sensation, this double consciousness, this sense of always looking at oneself through the eyes of others. One ever feels his two-ness, an American, a Negro, two souls, two thoughts, two unreconciled strivings, two warring ideas, and one dark body, whose dog strength alone keeps it from being torn asunder," end quote. Double consciousness describes the personal sensation of feeling as though one's identity is divided into two or several parts, making it difficult or impossible to have one unified thought or identity. Du Bois spoke of this within the context of race relations in the United States. He asserts that since American Negroes have lived in a society that historically has repressed and suppressed their will and interests and devalued them, that it has become difficult for the Negro to unify in identity with their Americanism versus being Negro, Black, or colored. Double consciousness forces Blacks not to only view themselves from their own unique perspective or way of life, but also view themselves as they might be perceived by the dominant group, or some people would say white, in America. A prominent author and father of the concept of Black, Claude McKay, encouraged Negro and colored people to express self-determination by rejecting the classification early placed on them as Negro, colored, and assuming a self-will by identifying themselves as Black people. Functionally, the meaning of Black is to be strong, according to overcoming, in possession of universal, civil, and human rights, worthy of dignity. It was intended, to be taught as a principal order for future generations, as opposed to just being a fad of the 20s. By 1929, the prophet Elijah Muhammad, who was the leader of the Nation of Islam, and also a gentleman known as Noble Prophet Drew Ali, who was the founder of the Moorish Science Temple of America, they both suggested that the Negro should identify themselves by Islamic principles or teachings and culture, and leave the American social value system. However, this posed many conflicts, given the fact that most Negroes in America who had been born here were deeply entrenched and dependent upon the environment, its resources, and opportunities. 1976, Dr. Ivan Gladstone Van Shertima, along with Randall Robinson, they both suggested the idea, based on Dr. Van Shertima's published work, A Cane Before Columbus. As a graduate student, he wrote, and his book deals mostly with the claims of African origin of Mesoamerican culture, suggesting that Blacks had been here long before Europeans in the Western Hemisphere. But among other things, also his writings about the kings of the 25th dynasty in Egypt, suggesting they were Nubian, they were dark people. The book was a bestseller in 76 and achieved widespread attention within the Afro-American community. largely for its claims of prehistoric African contact and diffusion around the world, even to Central and South America. But then Randall Robinson founded the Trans-Africa Forum, which was a lobbying group for Africa in Washington, D.C. Those two heavily influenced the philosophy and the idea of identifying with what was known as Afro affinity during the 70s. But later, the Reverend Jesse Lee Jackson Sr., who ran for president in 1988, while he didn't win his Democratic primary, he did emerge as a central voice, having also been in Dr. King's inner circle. And many assumed that he had great leverage and influence in the ear of many folk relative to helping and shaping the identity and path of blacks in America. Well, he suggested in a public address the concept of identifying ourselves as African Americans. Now, while the phrase suggests that Negroes and blacks has dual identity and or citizenship in both an African country and in America, it can be often misleading. The reality is that most blacks have never left America, and many of them have little knowledge of, not everybody, but many of them have little knowledge of African culture and concepts and geographical location, topography, and things of that nature. While African-American has crept into the vocabulary of America, it has remained since 1988, and now we see it often on various applications and formal documents. As of January the 1st, this past New Year, 2017, there is a major difference of opinion as to what the collective identity of descendants of African slaves in America should be as a result of the most central figure of the Afro-American family and its culture historically being absent and silenced. The current generation of African-Americans, if you will, are confused at best about how and what to identify themselves as. Over the last five generations, since 1865, after being set free in America, the, quote, strong man, end quote, of the Negro, Black, or Afro-African-American subculture appears to have been bound, thus leaving the house itself divided. One of the first questions we want to answer with our special guest is what causes people to be confused about their identity. Let me take the pleasure of introducing formally our very good friend and guest for tonight, Mr. Cedric Lanier. As I mentioned earlier,
hey, how you doing?
He was the party guard for Fred Hampton.
It was Junior, too. I want to make you say that. Junior. Fred Hampton Jr.
Fred Hampton Jr.
Right, his son.
I'm sorry. All right. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing very well. How you doing, brother?
Great. Let me yield the floor and give you an opportunity to formally talk to us about your work there, and tell us about, you know, about your background and so forth and so on.
It's kind of interesting. I was listening to your prelude, you know, the things that you were saying, especially regarding African-Americans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And me, myself, before just even going into depth about that, you know, I originally, you know, being an African-American or individual, when you talk about how we're so subdivided, I kind of opened my mind to, you had me really just really thinking that, because it's two different words if you look at it to begin with, African-American.
Yeah, that's right.
You understand,
that's
you
right.
Got African and American. And if we just think of the later definition, American is one of the natives of the so-called United States. So Now we understand that. Then African is a person that speaks a certain language of a republic or nation. Now this is something deep.
Right.
You know, and I was just really, really listening to that. We're looking at the culture so subdivided. And I think one of the main reasons is when you don't know history, then you're bound to repeat it too. See, I think there's a lot of things we don't know.
I believe Frederick Douglass made that quote.
Yes, sir. Frederick Douglass made that quote. Yes, sir. And I think that it's incumbent upon us to know our history too, because if you don't know your history, and let me just speak on a personal basis, a high basis.
Okay.
That'd be a little clearer. Now, I got a chance just to tell you a little something about me. Being from Chicago, Illinois, I went to a grammar school called Mahalia Jackson. You might remember the grammar singer. I mean, gospel singer Mahalia Jackson.
Yes.
All right. I went to a grammar school on 8808 South Sangamon in Chicago, Illinois. It's called Mahalia Jackson Grammar School. Okay, the gospel singer. And then I also went to high school with another event that kind of went nationwide about a Benji Wilson who got shot. It was a basketball player in 1986 in Chicago.
I remember that.
Okay, right. You know, then I went, you know, later I went to East West University. You know, I graduated in 1987, and then I went. I don't have what you say the so-called degrees on paper, but I studied business communications 1, 2, and 3, and I went to Historical College, East West University. In Chicago.
I'm familiar with East West. Okay.
So, you know, and I just got a chance to be around different races of people. And then, you know, just growing up to right now, you had had a very interesting opening when you said Afro-American. And I was trying to just look at, understand our present plight. Now, when certain things been stripped of, especially you talked about the man. You talked about early in the conversation about the man and talked about the strength of a man. Now, we can look at, I know you can remember this. Now, we can look back and we can say in history and we can understand that even in slavery, they get the strongest black male, the one who appeared to be the strongest among the slaves. And they will have a horse and they will tie his two arms extended as well as his two legs extended in separate directions and make the horse run in those separate directions in order to instill a certain type of psychological fear into a group of people.
Okay.
And they break it down through the man. Through the man who's supposed to be the representation. The man can be represented like the sun, or which is supposed to be like a great light or a powerful light, something strong. Mm-hmm. So if you break down something that's like the pillar of a structure, a building of something, that means that you can never start the building process till we start with the men first, or the young men, if we look at it like that.
Okay. Absolutely. If I might just, you're hitting on something that's key. I shared the biblical text because what we learned in the Old Testament is that we had a problem, and that was a disconnect between the instruction of fathers and children. And it brought itself into the New Testament, and we see this thing in 2017 where apparently there is a huge breakdown in communication and dialogue on part of our fathers and their children at home, and at home first.
Well, you know what? That's another pertinent issue, too. We can go and we can look at something back in the early to mid-60s, the dismantlement of the family occurred, just say with the welfare SIP, and just to scratch the surface superficially and not to delve into depth. In order for the woman to be a recipient of welfare, the father was omitted from the home front. So if he was taken out of the home front, just think the father or dismantlement of the blacks. I call it the dismantle, to take something apart. And that goes back to what I was just saying about a couple of minutes ago about what they did with the slave to instill this. They took that strong source, that main source, and broke it down. We got the media manipulation doing it these days, you know. And I try to tell people they don't see it through airwaves, things that's being said, things that's being displayed in our visual, because people don't understand this is a straight correlation to breaking down a whole. If I see someone breaking down something that's powerful to me, or if I see something that looks better than me. Now, to get on that subject and be kind of touchy, what I mean by that is that when I grew up studying, and my family, good Christian family, and they take me to church. You know, I mean, I don't care what you're doing Friday or Saturday. You're going to get up for church. You know what I mean? You're going to have a way where you're going to church. You're going to put some grease on your face. You're going to wake up. You're going.
You're going. You're going.
You're going to church. It ain't no excuse.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Ain't no excuse.
Okay.
But we know growing up, what I started to see was that I was starting to, you know, really get into depth, you know, to studying. And when I read something, and this is a very important issue, I read something on Revelations chapter 1, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
And it said his eyes were like the flame of fire. And then it turned around and tell me his feet were like fine brass.
My.
You know what I mean? This is Jesus. This it was in red because they said get a King James Version Bible, and we'll put it in red, brother. And we'll get a chance to say some of the sayings when Jesus is talking. We can go on to Revelation 22:16, and I'm just trying to show something right here, some correlation. And Jesus said, Jesus have sent this testimony to the churches that I'm the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. And I got to really thinking, wow, well, David was the father of Solomon. So I turned to Solomon, and Solomon chapter 1, verse 5, tell me, black, am I yet loving? And I started asking people, who was that on the cross then? This is what I start asking now. As a child, now, boy, you better get out of here. You don't be going against Jesus. My grandparents didn't really start snapping. Then I ain't going to never forget
all
it.
Right.
You know, going into a thing. Yeah.
Brother Lanier, hold that thought. You're hitting something that's key. You're hitting something that's key. Hold that thought for a second.
Yes,
I
sir.
Want to bring you
yes,
back
sir.
To talk to me about your connection with Hampton, Fred Hampton Jr.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Hold on one second. Give me one second. Casey Clark, how you doing, sir?
Good morning, sir. Mm-hmm. Becca.
Hey.
Good morning.
Casey, are you able to stick with us for a few minutes? Here, you on the
yes,
call,
sir.
Right?
Yes. All right. Bring it on.
Our guest tonight is Brother Lanier, who was the bodyguard for Fred Hampton Jr. in Chicago.
Oh, right.
Black Panther.
Okay.
Casey is a good brother in Nashville, and he and I have worked together. He's attended several of our workshops and seminars. So we're going to have him on as our special guest talking about Negro musicology next Tuesday. He is a expert musician. And you go, but we'll get to that later. Casey, just hold on, hang in there with it, brother.
All right. Uh-huh.
So, Brother Lanier, talk to me about a little bit about, and I want you to bring back what you were saying about the description of Christ as it relates to people and those who have been downtrodden, forgotten, left aside. And it sounds like that's a motivation for us to want to find about who Christ is, because when we find him, we find ourselves. But talk to me a little bit.
Bingo.
Amen.
Bingo.
Okay. Well, talk to me a little bit about Fred Hampton Jr., your relationship there.
Okay, all right. And one thing that I really, really respected so much about Fred Hampton Jr., we had what happened was like in February of 2006, Hurricane Katrina occurred.
Right.
Okay,
right,
and we got
right.
a chance to travel down there with another beautiful friend, Mama D., who was involved with like an activist for Mama D, and we was down there with a Ray Nagel. He was the mayor at that time, I remember.
That's good. He's doing time now, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then one thing is another, huh? But
that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, it is. But you know, I was down there with him. I got a chance to, you know, they had each house. I'll never forget how each house was marked on the top, how many people had lived, and at the bottom, how many passed. You know, they had them marked on each house,
right.
You know. And I was thinking about, you know, the Ninth Ward and what occurred then, you know, with the Ninth Ward and how I got a chance to meet so many different people in different tenures who was, you know, it shows the unity that the human race should have, but we still see something that's being still deprived in a deplorable state. I've seen within the black community. I've seen things like that, too.
Right. Amen.
You know, it wasn't just in one area. You know, it's the difference when you educate yourself. I told a person, you know, the word educate really means to enlighten, so to speak, because you enlighten yourself. You go on a quest and you start, you know, seeking and finding out information that, you know, the truth kind of really bites. Reality bites. That's reality bites. That's just the truth.
Amen.
I hate to say it. When I was elaborating on the Jesus concept, because I brought it to all my pastors and them, I was asking them, who was that on the cross? I wanted to know. You know, because I know that Jay didn't come in a language to the 16th century, too. I got to study. I said, man, now Jay didn't even come. What was his name then? Now, who is this? You know, so I was really getting confused. But the main thing I'm trying to go on is the picture. the picture.
Okay.
In other words, when I see the picture at the churches all the time, and this was me to see straight hair, blonde eyes, you know, white or high yellow complexion, standard TV, the way they've been doing anything, lightening things up. This right here automatically put like a that's a form, right? That's a complex going in the back of our mind and, you know, subconscious mind, because just say if I'm a black male and I've seen this picture and you tell me Jesus Christ is God's son and I'm a child and my mind have not matured to the state of thinking, I'm going to automatically think the son resembles the father.
Amen.
See, that's not God. That's a psychology. Right. That's a psychology,
exactly.
Brother.
I follow you.
You understand what I'm trying to say? That so
right.
If I'm already in an inferior state, if you get me on a religious aspect or spiritual aspect, that's like 75 or 3/4 of my whole entire being. You done got the whole power of me. You
right.
Hit me spiritually.
Okay.
You understand? So that means we got like a spiritual malady. And to me, once the spiritual malady is corrected, that's the only way we're going to straighten out mentally and physically. It's a spiritual malady going on in the disease.
Amen.
So something got us like this. So we got to understand what got us like this.
Brother Ladell, look, you answering all my questions ahead of time, man. I got a whole another hour to go.
I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, brother.
When it's right, it's right.
Absolutely. You're dead. You're dead on the money, and that's
that
where you want to go. But let me again extend to our listening audience. We found that individuals have tapped in from California, from New York, and those are cities that were not on our radar to go. We're trying to take our lecture series to 10 different cities in different states. And those are states that we were not intending to go to, but we're grateful that listeners have tapped into our show, listened either live or they've pulled the show up later. So, but let me, the number is 657-383-0944. Feel free to call. Casey, how you doing, man?
Having a ball, sir.
Okay.
I didn't let the election depress me, brother. I'm still here.
Okay.
That's right.
That's a good thing.
That's right.
That's a good thing. And Casey,
another side show.
Right, Casey, what we're talking about is what does it mean to be African American? A subculture that has been divided. And that factors into a lot of the frustration that people have. But if you all would bear with me, give me a few minutes, I'm going to do this announcement. And on the other side of that, we're going to come back. And I'd like for you to hit that question for me. Casey, you jump in right in here with us too, man.
All right.
Brother, what is it that calls people to be confused about their identity? That's what I want us to answer when we come
back. Good one.
Casey, feel free to think about it and give us your ideas. But give me a few minutes. We'll be back on the other side of this message.
All right.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful to have with us tonight our very special guest, Mr. Lanier, Cedric Lanier, who is sharing with us in a powerful discussion, what does it mean to be an African-American, a subculture divide? Along with us tonight is a caller, Brother Casey Clark, out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Grateful to have him as well. You're welcome to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. Call us. We will put you in queue. We want to hear from you. Gentlemen, you heard Pookie. Sometimes Pookie is so confused about who he is that he decides he wants to be a girl, or a girl and a boy. Sometimes Pookie just want to run away from reality and indulge in drugs and alcohol, or hide behind a gang, or get caught up in gambling or other vices that allows him not to face the reality of his confusion about who he is and what his purpose is. What is it, gentlemen? Help me with this, like I'm 3 years old. What makes a people confused about their identity?
When they're confused about God, coming from confused leaders.
That's right.
Hello, world. I'm one of the gentlemen who is sick and tired of being lied to by so many so-called folks who say they've been called by God. Prove it.
That's right.
Prove it. I'm sick of talk. I need to see some walk.
Jason,
don't step
on my toes too bad. I just
follow the shoes,
man.
If I don't call it like a fit, that means I'm blind.
Great point.
And I take I want you to know, as a pastor, I take no offense to that, because this is where my experiences have shown me people are today. They are sick and tired of being played the church, by political leaders, and everybody else that used them as a punchline to get paid.
Thank you.
That's right. Standing in the big white mansion in the suburbs, and then they only come when they want that vote.
Watch out. Watch out. And Santa Claus is still coming to their house.
But then Santa Claus, like James Brown says, will go straight to the ghetto, though.
What?
That's something more famous. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto for a reason, too. So, yeah.
So let's dig into this. Let's dig into this a little bit more, gentlemen. As you heard my monologue, in case you perhaps missed it, I talked about how going all the way back, Casey, all the way back to being set free.
Uh-oh.
Two boys talked about how Negroes suffered from what he called a double consciousness, and I call it a dual identity. But now, gentlemen, it looks like there's even a third possible consideration of how. And young people today, they don't understand what it means to be Negro, black, colored.
Yes.
They definitely don't know what it means to be an American. Casey, you talked about the election. And I would submit to you that those that are most concerned about the outcome of not only this election, but many others, those who are least familiar with who they are, what their purpose and opportunities are in the world, not just America.
That's right.
This is where we have failed to teach the last five generations from 1865.
Uh-oh.
We just crossed over into a new year on January.
That's
the
1st. True. Lost. Pastor, can I tell our friend what they kind of got upset at me about in the Bible Belt of America?
Sure.
My friend, I told him it was too late. And no one seemed to prove me wrong yet.
Brother Lanier,
talk is cheap.
For suggesting. And even I have said, well, it's not too late. But define to us what you mean by that, Casey. Explain to us what you mean when you say it's too late. What do you really mean?
Because if you don't change, it's too late. And why go to work and not get paid? Why tell me about a God who can do all things and heal all people? And why do I see so much sickness and so much hatred in a country that's supposed to be so much of love? Ray Charles can see that, brother. I'm sick of sick and tired of being sick and tired. Prove it to me.
Okay. Show and tell is the name. Show and tell.
Yes, sir.
Right.
That's the truth.
Right.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Guess who's making all the money?
And you know where we get caught, gentlemen. We get caught in that pigeonhole of, well, you black and you white. You don't like me because I'm black. And at the end of the day, the framers of the Constitution said, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men.
Yes, sir.
I noticed it never qualified whether you were white, black, Italian, African, German, Greek. It just said all men. But it went on to say that these men give consent to those who govern them when they expand the government upon themselves. Go ahead,
can I just say something right in the court when you said all men? Number one, it goes back on the issue where we started off earlier when we were giving the analogies about how what man means, the definitive term, okay? And then also the identity that's set for Afro-Americans as a man. You understand now?
Wow.
For all men, if you didn't already broke me down as a man, you
uh-oh.
Understand? And there's very few in between. We don't got Adam and Eve, we got Adam and Steve. Not to offend people, but that means something. We already divided, Afro-American divided.
Yeah,
you know, we see, when we broke down in a state like that from being a man, then that means you can't exemplify your God-like qualities or characteristics because
absolutely.
We don't even know the meaning of God. You understand what I'm saying? It's called subjugation, man. Subjugation,
bring it on,
man,
I'm
you know.
Listening.
Or I call it a subliminal abduction when we look at the media manipulation taking our mind from one state to another, peer pressure. We can listen to my immediate peers. Environmental influences. Children emulate environmental influences. And when we have the black family that have been dismantled or taken apart, this is the result of what we got now. A child without a father means no respect for authority. A child without a mother means not the time for love. So we're going to have a rebellious generation they like leaves. You ever seen a leaf on a windy day?
Wow.
Think about a leaf blown to and fro. Don't even know where to get in to fit in it. And it's just the way it is until we understand who and what we are first. That's what we
got. I got your answer.
You
I got your answer.
Give it to me.
Have you heard of the poison box?
Yes, sir.
It's called a television. It's a new mirror. If we wasn't like that, it wouldn't fail. If we didn't love it, it wouldn't fail.
That's right.
Watch out, Casey.
Telling lies, huh?
You know what? You all brought up something about homosexuality. What all you see on TV is violence.
Ain't this what I'm trying to say? They try when you got the leaders, like, it's nothing what the leaders say. It says, if we look at it, Matthew 5:5, what it say, the meek shall inherit the earth, right? And it's like we're trying to be down that way, man. But anytime we're trying to be down with the meek inheritance earth, which our people are very meek and humble, and we got another group of entities that's tripping since the day of your birth, you got to understand this stuff has been programmed, man. So I don't have to worry about it. I got to get you. They can't control a person. It's just like military. Let me give you this example. You got me excited, man. If we think about military, they don't want to control it. They can't constantly control it because of the decrease in economics. So they got to do a thing psychologically is different.
Right.
So if there's a war front going on, you got to understand what they're getting us first psychologically. You got to understand what's being psychologically suggested by the media manipulation first.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
See, certain things is always right. Or I might have watched Rocky growing up. Remember Rocky? Dun, 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 dun. I'm watching Rocky go. He boxing and everything. And I'm, you know, seeing the guy get in shape. We all into the movie. But he fighting Mr. T. Now,
that's
I'm watching when he's fighting Mr. T. I'm going to call this the last white hope. Now, check this out. Now, Mr. T then was fighting. Now, and you watching him fight, and they put him in slow motion, like he going real slow. Now, you got to keep in mind, they classify blacks as rhesus monkeys, highly aggressive. You know, that's one of our titles, too. So they fight, and he swing. Then all of a sudden, Rocky gets getting beat down. Everybody get the Adrian, too. We going with Rocky all of a sudden. And then we're looking at our own. Or are we looking at the imagery that's set before us?
That mirror
was already something placed into our subconscious. People don't understand how it starts.
Amen.
It's not like that. Oh, McGilla Gorilla. How much for that gorilla in the window? Think about McGilla Gorilla, the cartoon.
That's right.
We got to look around, brother. We got to think.
So now, let me push back on you, gentlemen. Y'all got me in the corner. Now I got to come out of the corner.
All right.
What I'm hearing you say is that there is some external force that is controlling the social behavior and identity of people we're talking about. Now, let me hold that thought. I said that 150 years have passed since the 13th Amendment of the Constitution abolished, it ended slavery and involuntary servitude, except, gentlemen, this is the key, except for punishment of a crime. Then I went on to say, Casey, that the great irony is it is criminal behavior that leads many people finding themselves to being subjugated to the will of others because they have been either charged and or convicted or plead guilty to a crime. Now you have no sense of independence or sense of identity, and you feel as though you got to do what somebody else said. Is that, can we blame our white brothers and sisters for that, or is that something internally within our culture we have to address?
That's right. We've always been strong. We've been so brainwashed. You know what? Without God, the Doobie Brothers said, without love, where would we be now? Without God, you are through. Why have so many of us, we're talking about down home brothers and sisters, why have so many of us left the church in the last 25 years?
Okay.
Talk to me,
okay.
Somebody.
Well, there are a number of, because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a pastor now. The church as an institution, right, has failed over the last 30 years or better to answer that question that men left went to the Nation of Islam, and as I mentioned, they went to the Moorish Science Temple, and some of them just stopped going to church and went to the street and started drinking, right?
Amen.
Well, they wanted to know, how do I identify with this God that you're talking about? How can
Amen.
I find myself? Where are they talking about me in the Bible?
That's right. Right.
That's the question that I find has not been answered very well for many well-intended, good-hearted brothers who say, listen, I can't get my woman, my children, or nobody to show me respect. I might have to go.
You said something powerful, brother. Wow. You touched on something about where we at in the Bible. I hate to say it. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right, in the fire, okay? Think about Daniel in the lion's den. Think about Joseph when his 12 brothers betrayed him and threw him in the well. Think about Jonah, when he's supposed to went to Nineveh to preach, and he got swallowed by the whale. Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, seem like all our people in jail. Seem like we're in jail, or we're in a system that's seeking out to put us on supervision, probation, or parole to be placed in jail.
But
you want to know what we had? It seems
now,
like it's showing a whole different outlook for us in the Bible, too.
You're going to have to tell me now. Y'all going to have to help me like I'm saying.
Okay.
Is it possible for me to break free from that hole?
All right, this is how you do it. This is real simple. We'll go with what Yahshua, because I didn't establish it. What I said it wasn't Jesus. So now let me validate that, because we know J didn't come in language to the 16th century. So we say Yahshua.
Okay.
Whatever our believers out there believe in, we just say Jesus, because everybody know the common name Jesus. Okay, brother, on the real note. So he said he should tell the truth, and the truth shall set ye free. So that means we got to deal with the truth, and a lot of people don't want to hear the truth.
Uh-oh.
Well, this is how we're going to break loose.
Yes, sir.
Casey, have you heard that before?
Yes, sir. Sure have. Jay didn't even come in the word of the Bible till when the Bible's already written. How many of y'all knew that? The little alphabet Jay? Y'all want to talk to him? You're on the right road now, brother. We need to go back to history class.
Bingo.
You're lost without
bingo.
History.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. Bingo. What do you say? If we don't learn from this, we're bound to repeat that adage.
Amen.
And we're repeating it. People don't understand what's really going on, because if you can't tell, ask a person, did you know about what happened in 1444? They talked about the porch of Senegal or the door of no return. They said the sharks had enough distinctive behavior.
Yeah, when you're blind, you don't know you're lost.
Okay. There it is. Brother.
Okay.
But then you got the blind leading the blind, so they don't even know, like you say, because it's the blind leading the blind now, so they don't know they're lost.
Wait a minute, don't drag me too far. So I appreciate everything you all are saying. So here's the thing, gentlemen. There are a great many of people who, for whatever reason, have shut their minds to these ideas that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we know, largely, that factors into why collectively as a whole we suffer the way we do. It's not that the information is not there, but my premise is because as a subgroup there is no strong, the strong man has been bound.
Amen.
In the Afro family and in the culture. We also say it this way. We say, who is the leader? Well, let me recap the scripture, Casey. Let me recap the text. The text says in Mark 3:27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except. Did you hear that word except, just like the 13th Amendment said? Except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Listen, there are conditions that go with the idea of even fixing the problem and the problem having its beginning or its genesis. Under the right conditions, you can either have a problem or you can have a solution. The question for us tonight is, what is it we got to do to get rid of this except clause? I noticed it was in the Bible, and I noticed in the 13th Amendment. Except, in other words, there are some conditions that if you fall under them, then certain things can be so. A man could be bound, or he could be set free.
You know what? I just wanted to say something. You said something, Papa, that word except, and something came to mind to me, brother. And it's words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and became flesh. So
Amen.
To me, it starts with words. Oh, it's the wordplay, trichinology, or trichinosis, I call it. See, let me say something. You finna sit down. When you finna sit down, brother, Dockery, and my other brother, when you finna sit down in the chair, you sit down with complete and absolute faith that chair gonna hold you up substantially that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that you don't walk down and say, I should have sit down or I could have sit down? It's how the word play, accept. Now, when you got accept already in my mind already, that's putting me in what a loser state. That's what really minority mean, a loser. It don't mean what people think. They said we the minority. They was automatically saying we was losers anyway to begin with. Somebody was saying something.
Brother, Hitler, remember that guy? One of the greatest brainwashers ever lived. Guess what?
You know why he was?
Let me give you one more quick thing. If we're free, you remember the word slavery and slaves? If we're free, then why are there more black men locked up in America than there were slaves?
Ain't that powerful? Isn't that powerful?
Watch out,
Casey. Isn't that powerful? And why are they following these fashion statements that don't lie? Why is it that, like you said, they all locked up? If they're doing the same thing we go all the way back to now, we talk about, like what he said at the introduction of this conversation, when he said the man, except the strong man's house. They didn't came into the house and they got him psychologically, spiritually, and mentally. If I got you in them ways, brothers, it's a difference with a slave. A slave is a physical aspect, but to be enslaved,
watch out.
Be subjugated. Your mind is enslaved. You got to free your mind.
Mind.
Hey, look here. Y'all too much for me, man. I got to go in the closet.
Now look, brother. When you go in the closet, and I know that's a good way to go and pray in the closet in secret. We got to come out and say, damn, when I come out that closet and come back into this light, we got to put something together.
We got to dispel this
darkness or this ignorance.
Right. Don't waste your time in the closet. When you come out,
hey brother, now you said ain't no time for running hat. Now you got to stand out. Now you got to come out and be a man now.
Hey, look, come out and look. You got to dispel that darkness, that ignorance. That's all it is.
Wow.
Ignorance. When you don't know, man, that's all they don't know. They like that, that's why I can understand the statement. Supposedly Jesus said, "Forgive them for they don't know." Because
don't know,
when you don't know something, when you don't know something, I have no idea of something. How are you going? If you don't know history or his story, how are you going to know where you at and what you're trying? You don't have a vision for no future. You haven't prepared appropriately, brother.
Talk to it.
It's an old saying we used to say in Chicago. We used to say proper preparation prevents poor performance. Now, you can get answers from that. Prepare properly, prevent from performing poorly. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So we don't plan.
Ooh.
And we're going to fail because we don't have no plan, no strategic or formula. We're going to get from point A to point B. We just we go out there on the lane without knowing.
Let me just say, I've had the pleasure of having a guest from Chicago, Brother Gerald, I can't even call his name right now, But he was Bloodsaw. Gerald Bloodsaw.
Okay.
He deals with money. He deals with a financial fund in Chicago. He talked about how using certain principles, he was able to raise two boys without ever going to jail. Both of them, one of them is in school with my son, and the other is a pilot now.
That's a blessing.
All right.
And growing up in an area like Chicago, they were able to avoid some of the things you hear about Chicago right now. So the truth of the matter is everybody's not caught up. Some people are.
Oh, yeah. But you know
how
what? If everybody might not. You know what? Everybody's hardship, their struggles and sufferings are different, meaning that some people can stand up and be accounted for. But when you've been psychologically whooped, the way
that's
our people have been whooped
dangerous.
Down, you understand what I'm saying? And
you
all the connotations to. Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, let me just go ahead and cut the mustard, Casey. The truth of the matter is, brothers have got to step up to the plate and assume their rightful place in our religious construct and within our subculture. And sisters got to know how to respectfully assume their place and not get the wires mixed up.
There you go.
That's our problem. That's our
problem.
We allow everybody to define who we are.
Mm-hmm.
One of my previous shows was about the three young ladies that started Black Lives Matter. Bless their heart, they were confused about the reality of who we are and where we come from. More importantly,
which
direction we need to go in. So they got this confused notion that it's okay for a sister to stand up and to stand in a man's place. Now somebody's going to say, you being sexist.
You're saying the truth.
But that's part of the problem why culturally we're divided. Because the meaning of African American now has been some kind of way blended with gay, lesbian, LGBT, and everything other than what it actually meant to be self-sufficient, independent, and to have cultural affinity.
You know what you said, son?
Go ahead, brother.
No, brother, go ahead. No, continue. I'm sorry. So sorry, brother.
Let me throw something right quick.
No. Go ahead, Casey.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
If this goes out to our brothers, if black lives matter, then why do we continue murdering one another?
Exactly.
Explain that to anyone.
Let's look at who's saying it, Casey. It's the babies who are ill-informed because they haven't been taught by their fathers. They haven't been taught by their fathers. Everybody's defining for them who they are and what their life is other than their elders and their fathers in the context of their marriage. So essentially, we have been bastardized in America. We learned the story of George Washington and the framers of the Constitution, but how many of us understand the teachings of Diop and those brothers from the East and those who where our origins come from before we came to America as slaves?
Ain't that something?
Don't even understand what the lost sheep of Israel. A lot of people don't really understand what they read, and that's an excellent
point.
True.
Absolutely.
Because
when you're
reading, you need to know who wrote it.
That's what I'm trying to say. See, I had a good friend of mine, you know, and he's seeking his membership with ordainment, and he was just asking me, how did I, you know, gain the knowledge? So you got to know history, and he was like, well, I'm going with this and going with that, and I'm going with. I said, it's certain things that you have to question yourself and ask yourself. Not saying you're going against God or nothing, but you're taking initiative to use some type of reason and rationalization now.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if you cannot think freely, and you have to have somebody else to think for you still, and you're always looking
this.
At another person. Yes, sir.
Well, watch this. It's just a rational conversation with God. Jesus, when he was on the cross, had a rational conversation at his last moment. He asked the question simply, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Forsaken me, right?
That was a rational conversation.
Right.
Now the catch is, we've been reading the Bible for over 400 years in America, and we still haven't found the answer why he forsook Jesus.
You know what? It's so popular. You know what? Now, I hate to say it. Is it could be we've been reading the Bible so many years, and there's certain things, you know, not to offend people, believe maybe it's something else that he alludes to, more of a psychological entanglement. Do you think that? We can go back and chase the Bible. We can go to the Scofield Scottsdale Bible, the 1611 edition, and different books where you can find out that a lot of things have been changed for whatever reason. Now, we were looking at it from that. That's another subject now, but we just want to get a little deep here if we want to really look at it from every perspective.
But now, my friend, here's the reality. When the question was asked, he already knew
yes,
the
sir.
Answer. The question
yes,
was for you and I. It was for others
okay.
to ponder so that they can answer that question. When you forsake yourself, you cause even the Creator. Come on, somebody.
Have to deal
with you in a certain manner. And because we have forsaken, I'm going to go back to Malachi 4th chapter.
Okay.
When the
yes,
heart
sir.
Of fathers, when the hearts of fathers are returned to the hearts of children, those children won't be forsaken. And they won't feel forsaken. That's what Malachi talked about. And they have been forsaken because of our disobedience, we caused ourselves to be subjugated in the slavery of America experience, and we lost the control of a strong man in the house. Now,
I agree.
Control. Now, the question is, in 2017, what must we do to regain the control of our households?
Yes.
Help
That's
them
it.
Ourselves. One thing is, number one, what you said, we have to find out. Like, we need to know what a man is. Man means mind, soul, responsibility. First, if I got my man meaning mind, we ain't talking about the children and boys that masquerade around them as men with the money, material wealth, or the homes, the cars, or
right.
or the female counterparts. I'm talking about what does man mean. We have to first define the statement to know that every great man was first a great worshiper of God. You understand? He had to have some source of strength. To release
right.
that indomitable spirit, to sparkle, ignite something in themselves, you know,
Ooh,
to want to
correct.
Change. See, you can correct. Take a person to the water, but you can't make them drink, as they say. You know,
right.
we can
right.
talk all day about a problem and a solution,
mm-hmm.
but they need examples, strong examples. And sometimes I hate to say it, it's going to start with our children or our kids. Number
mm-hmm.
one, like just like the Black Lives Matters, like you said, they was misinformed. Well, they're seeing injustice because each era gets a little smarter than the next. And some people say it's a so-called Aquarian age where people are, you know, being more, coming up to humanitarian causes and coming together collectively to see more. You
right.
got people stepping up, which shouldn't be in a rightful position, but when men can't step up when we're constantly being badgered and beaten down from the media
That's
manipulation
true.
To being placed in a
Correct.
Systematical order, you know, to the employment cycles. You know, even going out
yeah.
to go get a job, you know, you can see it. It's just right in front of your face, mm-hmm. man. Like he says, Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder, they don't want no eyesight. They don't want to see this because they already know it. It's a band of confusion.
You better hold that thought right there. I got about 30 minutes left. I'm going to have to come back at you on that one. Let me get this next message. Don't go nowhere. I got to come back here. I got to get with you on that.
Okay, brother. Yes, sir.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Wilbur Dockery, the number 657-383-0944. After this brief message, we'll come back. I want to get you on that one, man. You
All right.
Hold one second.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com. To learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
You really don't understand, do you? Hey, man, don't you realize in order for us to make this thing work, man, we've got to get rid of the pimps and the pushers and the prostitutes and then start all over again clean.
Hey, look, nobody's pushing me anyway, okay? I mean, not you, not the cops, nobody, man. I mean, you want to get rid of the pushers, I'll help you. But don't send your people after me.
John, can't you see that we can't get rid of one without getting rid of the other? We got to come down on both of them at the same time in order for this whole thing to work for the people.
Look, nobody's closing me out of my business.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. Have with us tonight our special guest, Mr. Cedric Lanier, as well as a good friend from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Brother Casey Clark. The number here is 657-330-944. Feel free to call us, share with us your ideas, ask your questions. We'll be happy to respond. Gentlemen, Willie Hutch says that despite all that we're going through, brothers are going to work it out. Have I got a witness?
Hey, it's kind of bleak and vague at this time, you know.
It's kind of bleak and vague.
It might be some light in the tunnel, but it's kind of bleak and vague. What you think, brother?
Somebody tell me what in the world is going on.
Watch out.
I don't know.
Casey, next week when we bring you on, Casey, we're gonna strike the balance between the blues and the gospel.
All right.
I know you can help me with that.
Both of them better be real out there, no good to no one. Watch out now.
Right.
You done woke me really up. I'm going to get my Coca-Cola now.
That blues gonna tell that truth of what you're feeling. So hey, you gotta tell the truth of it.
We're not gonna get into that tonight. That's next Tuesday. That's
all right.
Tuesday. But check.
You know what? Y'all know what? Ain't it funny that you don't be thinking? You know, it just hurt. You look. Okay, excuse me.
Okay.
While I kiss the sky, go ahead, you all.
I love that music. I was just going to say, I've got the blues. Boom, down, dum, dum, dum. Seem like I'm losing again. You know what I'm saying?
Gentlemen, that's next Tuesday.
That's going to be ready. That's going to be all right.
Okay.
Cause
all
you
right.
What?
But listen,
let me tell you, a lot of people in the church always talk about, wait, they playing the blues. You need to be listening to the blues.
Casey,
I know you're gonna be ready for me. Tonight we're talking about what does it mean to be African American, a culture
of
guidance.
My friend,
when we left, you mentioned the stifling of many brothers because of job opportunities. I want to ask you a question. How important on a scale from 0 to 10, 10 being the most, 0 being the least, how important is it for those brothers and others to begin, if they haven't already, to think about not just settling for jobs, but creating their own business opportunities?
Woo! That's all of it. Because can't nobody take music from me.
Okay.
They can't take preaching from you.
Right.
Guess what? They can't take my artwork from me. Entrepreneurial, you can't take none of that from me.
Right.
You have to watch who teaches you, too.
Uh-oh.
Because the American system may be a system that we're caught up in. It could become a trap where it's beginning to look. You know what? All this traffic. Why are there so many dumb people?
Right. Right.
Okay. Ignorance is bliss, isn't it?
Hello? Who's teaching
talk
who?
Talk to me about that. Brother Neil, give me something on that, man. What's the story? What's the story? What's the 411 on that?
Oh, man, you know what? It's real powerful what he was saying. And then, you know, if we look at just the condition of our people, and as you're talking about it, just give me specifically what you're really asking. I want to know specifically. Target this
all right,
one.
So what I'm asking you is, how important is it to begin taking young brothers who are having a hard time getting a job, staying on a job, and teaching them how to bring that which is in out and to establish their own business enterprise so that they don't have to worry about nobody determining how much they make?
Right.
You know what? To even begin with the start, that we have to have programs to where they're educated in that direction. I mean, because if you don't have knowledge of the workings of how to create residual, you know what I mean, then there's no way possible they can even get a foundation established.
That's it.
You know,
no,
they have
it.
To have some type of format that has to be devised by others who might have some economic revenue already established that can educate them to
saying,
put some of it.
Not to be rude, but so I'm hearing you suggest that if we're going to give out any entitlements from the government, you're going to offer anything, that's what you ought to offer is first that training of the mind, the renewing of the mind.
Mm-hmm. You have to.
That's it.
As a man thinking, so is he.
The renewing of the mind and the retooling of the spirit. I preached a sermon some years ago entitled Man Incorporated. And my text was Genesis, the first chapter, where first and the second chapter, where God invested in man from the dust of the earth. And look, gentlemen, he put his Ruach, his spirit, in his body. And that's when he became a living. And guess what he told him? He said that you got dominion and power over everything that's been created so that you can replicate creation.
Uh-huh.
There are three things that if a man want to be successful in the world, not just America, that ought to be the case. He need to find what his special gift is from God. And he has ask himself, how can I use this gift first to give God glory? Then how can I serve a public need, right, to humanity? And lastly, how can that provide means for me to sustain myself? In that order.
That's right.
When we teach brothers on that order, they'll be better prepared to be self-sufficient and support one another.
Yes, sir. That's a mind thing. That mind is. Ooh, that mind. We gotta change our. Tyrone Davis, can I change my mind? We gotta change our mind, way of thinking.
That's
if you're lost, you have to change. Turn.
Casey, this is what it means to be conscious. That's what it means to be conscious.
Right.
It means to be aware and knowledgeable of who you are, what your strengths and abilities are, such that you can use those to control the world around you. It's amazing to me, brethren, how when people see dogs and other animals, they get scared. When God gave you power over them, gave you dominion over them.
You know what? And then basically you think about it, the animals who don't have the reason and rationale that we ourselves supposed to have, we go lower than the state of animals themselves sometimes with our behavior.
You see a good example? You know, two or three months ago when they said the child was killed by the animal in the park there?
At the zoo.
Yeah.
But you know, did you already notice what the animal was doing? To me, it looked like he was trying to save the baby. He had something up trying to caress the baby. Did you all see that part of it?
Exactly.
Casey, what you're saying is he took a protective posture by putting it in the corner and cordoning off from everybody.
That's what I've seen.
Exactly.
I believe that.
And,
And you know what? That's the truth, because, see, animals go on, they intuitively, they got their intuition skills where they can sense it, fear. And that's one of the things that I already established when they get to barking and we're afraid of them. They can sense that automatically. So that intuitively, of course, that's what that animal would have did to protect. I remember one with a little girl in some country failed where the monkeys were, and the monkey, mama monkey grabbed and just kept embraced away from the others. So intuitively, they know. But can I ask you a question? It's funny you say that about the animals. You ever watch Discovery closely, and we'll watch them. They might have their baby 9 weeks or something, but you notice they always let the baby go. Why don't we let go either? You understand what I'm saying? Think about it now. Why don't we let go? Why do sometimes the parents got a tendency to want to live the future out in the eyes of their child? What's wrong with that?
You know why? That's why we're in trouble right now, because you cannot regrow a grown child. They have to grow up on their own.
Let me answer that for you. And I'm going to answer it from the context of the Negro experience. During the seasoning process of slaves, Willie Lynch said that you've got to have the mother raise her male child to be physically strong but mentally weak. Now watch this. You have to raise him out of the mother's sphere that if he stands up and try to be mentally strong and physically strong, he may get killed or destroyed. You remember you talked about those two horses, Brother Lanier?
Yes, sir.
That might become his flight. So she raises him to be fearful of being independent and to being strong mentally as well as physically. And this is why she came back.
And you know what? It's so sad. It goes back to when I was talking about the dismantlement back in the early to mid-60s of the family, how it was taken apart. You know, once you did dismantle and took that apart, that male counterpart like that, and then you have the mother who's trying to play. Let's look at it like this. Just say you're a father and you have a daughter and a son in the family, okay? Say the first date with your daughter needs to be with the father so that that's why it's called daddy's little girl. So she can know how a man should treat her, respect her, not misuse, abuse, nor neglect her.
Right,
and the son is going to emulate. They're going to emulate that love they see displayed in the home, for because love is an action word, it's a verb. It ain't what you say, it's what you do. So when a person is not doing that, which they saying, and they're not seeing this being demonstrated, there's no way, nothing for them to follow. They don't have no type of pattern to follow no more. You got babies making babies now. You know, and we have it now where the system has it, where they didn't took God out of the system anyway, because they tell you, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. You can't even discipline them no more. You understand? So they know it's going to lead them prone to the system, too. So then that's another problem we're looking at. You know what I mean? We have to look at the...
I'm sorry. Finish your thought. I apologize.
Yeah, and I was just saying we have to really look at that situation. That's very pertinent, because in order to really establish a base, we have to start with the young men. But how is it that now we got these other, we have the way we have the mother, and it's not to condemn or put the single parent down, but she's playing a role which isn't impossible, it's unbalanced by God Almighty. That's why man was created for a reason. That's why certain statements are said, one supporting the other. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about how one to support the other, the strong hold. It's really telling us how we can really build something, you know, because if we don't know that we have a base to build something, brother, there's no way possible we'll be able to extend our means of livelihood, educational-wise. I mean, we've been around like the German cockroach. We ain't going nowhere yet, nobody. But at the same time, it's time for people to stand up and be accounted for, too.
There you go.
Correct. Let me ask this question.
They have to really stand up.
This is a question that we've been answering. We backdoored it. But let me pose the question and reiterate the answer that we've been giving over the last few minutes. And the question was, how can the confusion about cultural identity be resolved for African Americans? And here's what we've been answering. We've been saying that the historical knowledge of Negro American social evolution, his growth over time, connected with the teaching of religious principles, will lead to identity of a child of creation and a brother and sister of humanity. And I think that's a summation of what we've been saying. We have about 15 minutes now before we go off the air, and I do want to give some time for us to kind of bring some closure to the conversation. I want our listeners to be able to, as they listen later, I want them to be able to take some notes and bring something away from what we're saying in a meaningful way. But,
oh yeah.
So brother Lanier, let me pose to you this last question as we do that, as we prepare to wrap up our show in our next 14 minutes or so. I want you to, if you will, give me at least three characteristics of a strong man, quote unquote. We read the text that no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man. What other characteristics?
Well, I think that, first of all, one of the main ones is when that male first have an identity, when he know himself. You have to have an identity first to start off with anything.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You have to have an identity. So
yes.
Once I establish an identity or knowledge of myself, then I can go and graduate to other levels of where I can enlighten myself. Because when I get knowledge of myself, it's going to make me find out ways I'm going to have to, how I can maneuver. You understand? And what I can do, you know how to be more decisive, so to speak. You know what
yes.
I mean? You'd be more, you won't be like a double-minded man, like it's in James chapter 1, verse 8, you know, straddling the fence. You won't know exactly what you can do and what direction to go in once you get knowledge of yourself. Then we have to, like you say, we have to quit being rebellious first and foremost. I mean, this should have been first to God or the Creator, as we understand Him, or that power that knows exactly how we feel. There's a power that knows exactly how each and every one of us feels. So when you're not acknowledging that anyway, you're not getting that first in all your affairs, then automatically it's like that little pamphlet you see, footprints in the sand. You know what I mean? You done already took the stand where you're going on your ego again. You ease God out, that's the ego. You get egotistical, so we have to get that out the way. And then I think lastly, in order for everything else to come into manifestation, if we dream about something, we have to dream aloud. In other words, how you going to talk about something, but I don't see nothing in manifestation. I don't see no direction you're going towards that of what you say you believe in. So we got to know what our belief system is. We have to know about that indomitable power in us. What did Jesus say? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that means we got to go within refuge inside of self. Life comes from within. We reach out from the inside. So we don't really understand what we have inside of ourselves, because unfortunately I think that people haven't been challenged in that area. I have, because I ended up going through the system before and got a chance to really take the initiative to study myself. Because the more you study yourself and you sit back and keep studying yourself, you're going to see the positive or duality of nature outside of you, the positive and negative, the good and the bad, the light and the dark. You're going to know how to be right or wrong. In other words, morally correct, moral correction comes when a person truly educates themselves. If you're not educated to know, how are you going to do better when you don't know better? Just put it that way. So we have to find our identity. We have to educate ourselves. And then I think a person can formulate some type of strategic of how they're going to get from point A to point B.
Okay. Those are great. Now, Casey, you want to weigh in on that, my friend? In terms of
what
characteristics of a strong man?
Standing on the truth, no matter who it may hurt.
Wow.
I would say it's time for us to wake up and get out and find our pride.
Okay.
And another thing, watch who you follow. Everything that's loud don't mean it's saying something.
Wow.
Make sure you're understanding the language, because I'm making talk in a duro, but it's going to take more than that. I need to be older than that to survive.
That's right.
Talk to me, somebody.
So, Casey, was Hal Melvin and the Blue Notes right on point when they said, wake up, everybody? No more.
Listen to the words. Yes, sir.
Can I get just 2 minutes of that, Casey? Can I get two minutes of that?
Yes, sir.
2 minutes of that.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be,
somebody will say, just leave it alone. If it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. But the reality is, we got a problem, don't we, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
And Casey, what you're saying is the world ain't going to get no better if you don't put your hands on it.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, first of all, you got to admit that you have a problem.
That's right.
You're driving a car with only three wheels, and you don't understand why the car is bumping.
Watch out, man.
Hello.
Yeah.
I put an aura, but I kept going forward.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
I kept seeing the same corner.
Okay.
Driving down the street. Look, driving down the street, looking out the rear view window, and don't see what's in front of you, huh?
Hey,
how you gonna drive for and you looking out the rear view window?
That's right.
My. So gentlemen, now I think that when we come to answering this question, what does it mean to be African American? We have to be honest about the fact that even though Jesse Jackson suggested it, there are some things that may not be very clear, but we have to assume, men have to assume responsibility for defining our cultural affinity, identity, and heritage, and teaching it to our children. If that doesn't happen, as much as we have, my mother, bless her heart, did not ask to wake up being a single parent mother. You know, my dad was around, I knew how to find him, and their circumstances pulled them apart, but she didn't ask for that, nor did I. But the reality is, until we're able to go back, fix that, and teach our young, they'll continue to be lost and sleep.
Yes.
Somebody's got to wake them up.
That's right.
This is Talk Straight, and that's what we're here for, to talk straight. I'm a preacher. You notice I use what some would call secular music. But I want to talk straight with you about what I know we can relate to.
Yes.
Because without getting into next Tuesday's show, this is the basis of our social orientation. If you want to understand Negro, Black, and Colored folk in America, look at their music. Casey gonna bring that home for us next Tuesday. But we'll deal with that then. But we just can't seem to get away from it, can we, Casey?
No, there's no way. Without that, we're through.
That's right.
Absolutely. Brother,
he said, "Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well." He didn't say throw the people away. Watch out, you done got me started in here.
And then you know what? What's even so powerful, even when you think about it, if we don't wake up, we're going to be like, that's why I say, what's the song? I was glad to buy a morning's paper. Well, that bad luck. Got to cut down on smoking. Cut down on smoking. Cut down on drinking. You know, we got to understand our necessity.
True.
People,
that's true.
I noticed about blacks' priorities, too. We have to look at it from that perspective and really in close. You got to understand our priorities, man, where they are. We have to be able to know that we have a shift of priorities we got to put in the protocol. That's our problem.
You know what's so good about you?
Yes, sir.
You didn't have to quote Bible scriptures to talk common sense to me.
Uh-oh.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That makes a difference now. It's so
yes,
simple.
In that case.
It is.
Ain't nothing wrong with the Bible, Casey.
It is, Pastor. It is if you don't use it properly.
Wow. Well, Casey and I have a history in Nashville on a talk show here where we've been That was one of the main things folk wanted to do is engage in argument about the Bible.
That's right.
And go in circles.
Right.
Ain't time. We ain't got time for that.
That's right.
Right. So y'all got a history. That's a good thing.
And you know
yes,
what?
Sir.
Nothing is more dangerous than not know when you're lost.
That's true.
The same thing 8 years, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wondering,
mm-hmm.
what's going on? 8 years? Coming up on 9 years? And we're talking about the same problem. 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is the most time we are together as one. Who didn't know that? Who didn't know
that?
We got a problem. 11 o'clock Sunday morning, we can change the world. I didn't say, quote scriptures, I said, get up off our do nothings.
Right. Hey, what they say? They say faith without works is dead. People talk about they have faith. Or belief, faith establishes bottom in something. Or put some bottom in the air. We got to put some bottom in the air to this. And the only way we're going to do that, like you said, is we're going to have to put forth the action.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, we talking about something. Talking loud ain't what they say. Talking loud ain't saying nothing. So we got to do something about this. Look, I don't know either. Look, we got to do something about this dilemma, brothers.
That's right.
You know what I mean? We need God first.
I got a good guitar, but it's no good if I don't plug it up.
There it is. That's right. That's right. That's right.
It's got to play some music or it's just a piece of wood.
That's right. That's right.
Right. Right. All right. So gentlemen, in conclusion, to be African American has to be defined by each of us, and we need to be in a collective position to have that respected for all of us. But that's on us. That's on us. The truth of the matter is, to my white brothers and sisters, it's clear to understand, just like the Italian, just like the Irish, just like the Jewish brothers and sisters, our Asian, they clearly understand that they must be unified in thought and action. If the Negro or the Afro or African American is to be successful, not only in America but in the world from this point forward, they must be collective. And they must be focused and deliberate about their definition and their action moving forward. I'm grateful that we had this opportunity.
We're through.
I'm grateful
without
that we had this opportunity to talk straight. Go ahead, Casey. Yes. I'm sorry, Casey. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You have to have a goal, sir.
Absolutely.
You have to have a goal.
Absolutely.
And people lost
their goal.
That's right.
You know what's scary?
I read somewhere, Casey, where it said that without a vision, people will perish.
I was just about to say that.
People perish because of a lack of vision. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
And you know, if you're going to perish because if you don't have no vision or a visual of where you're going, then that means you can't see, man. It's like, you know, like you said, it goes back to the blind leading the blind. We got somebody else leading you to somewhere. You don't got no knowledge of where you're going. You're just taking a ride. You're enjoying the view. That's a shame. That's right. And we have to take, like Casey saying, you saying, brother, we have to have a vision.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? We have to have some perspective. We don't have that. So that's, I think that should be the main thing, a vision.
All right. Oh, gentlemen,
you're still doing the same thing you were doing last year. What's new about it?
We're going to change that. I'm fortunate time is running out on me.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Let me encourage our listening audience to go to bfcinstitute.com, learn more about our traveling series, as well as our local initiative here in Nashville. And our national issue to bring a framework for cities across America to do collective change and social building. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reuben Dockery. We've had with us tonight Mr. Cedric Lanier and Brother Casey Clark out of Murfreesboro. He will be back as our guest next Tuesday, for our show where we will have a powerful conversation. Time has gotten away from us. We look forward to you joining us this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we look forward to bringing more important information. Again, this is your host, Reuben Dockery, with Talk Straight, and good night. Thank you.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed.